Thank you so much, and welcome to our presentation. With Kui, we will explain you what it is, how it works, and how we had issues with the copyright industry the last 2 years. So the QE is the clearing organization for copyright on the internet, founded in 2021, so only 4 years old. It's a voluntary association of ISPs, copyright holders. Their goal is to block websites which are structurally violating copyright by having the internet access providers blocking the affected websites. So you can see two parties, the copyright holders and the internet service providers. So the members of the QE make up about 85% of all German network access points. You have lots of industry, music industry, movie industry, but also the soccer or football industry, German Football League, and so on. This year a lot changed, also how the blocking works. So first of all, I will show you how it used to work until this summer. The copyright holder, for example, the Football League detects an illegal football stream, wants to have it blocked. Then they go to the QE and ask for them to block that site. The QE gets this application, and if it considers it to be well-founded, they reward it to the Federal Network Agency. The Federal Network Agency looks into it and then decides whether to block this website or not. It's important to know it's not the job of the Federal Network Agency in principle to make this decision. This is not prescribed by law. So when the QE gets it back, they forward it to the ISPs, and the ISPs will block that for the customers. That's how a blocked website will look. And all of that's voluntary. There is the German Digital Services Law, Section 8. There it's prescribed how the blocking procedure should work. But there are lots of hurdles, and it's way more complicated. And the QE was founded to have a simplified way of blocking, so it's not how it should work according to the law. We will not go into the technical details, but to take a look and short look into it, when having a DNS apply with your routers, the router will ask. I will take a look for the website, and usually I would get an answer with the correct address of the website. For example, here Sci-Hub, which is currently blocked. But as all of your requests are being looked into, this DNSC name is being set, and you're being redirected to notice.qi.info. So what will show to you in the end is not the website you wanted to access, but the notice that the website has been blocked. So we have lots of problems with that. We think it's very problematic. We think it's a privatized way of censorship. Their goal is to make money. The QE is making money by processing those requests for blocking. And it's happening behind closed doors. So we have big corporations, copyright holders, to keep it as intransparent as possible. So that's what you can see in this excerpt, the old code of conduct of the QE. They want to do a lot to make it not transparent at all. They have a list which is very secret. I think the Federal Network Agency might know about it, but not even they know the details about who. The Federal Network Agency only knows one domain, while the QE can also block similar domains which are mirroring the content. Well, they're not allowed to legally, but they still do it. and the Federal Network Agency doesn't know about that anymore, what those other domains may be. Okay, yeah, so for that reason, we made the site qilist.de with the goal to get more transparency. There have been similar projects in the past. What we did was kind of crowdsourcing, maybe some people accidentally stumbling about a blocked site, notifying us about it, we can take a look into it. We will try to find out when it's being blocked or deblocked from different providers. The issue is that this list is not full or exhaustive. We assume that many domains are being missed, that there are hundreds of domains we can't find through crowdsourcing. However, this wasn't a problem for long because there was a leak. It wasn't a hack, it was just incompetent, lack of competence with the provider 1&1. We found a loophole with them, did responsible disclosure, but I sent Elias a sensor screenshot, and Elias wanted to find out, well, what is that, where does it come from, and accidentally he stumbled about the website rpz1do.versatel-west.de, and it turned out that 1&1 simply put the entire blocking list into the internet unprotected. So we had an open directory with so-called response policy zones. These are files how the DNS answers are supposed to be answered or overwritten. There are many test files, but there is also the qi.db file, which was the qi list. So we had it live, could take a look when it was updated. It was the copyright list. And there are other interesting things as well. For example, the EU.db, that's a list with EU-sanctioned websites, for example, Russian news medias like RT. It's another topic, how you think about that. Then there's the KJM list. That's the Commission for Youth Media Protection. There's things like Pornhub, extremism. And the KGM keeps this list very secretly or very covered up, but actually you can just get it through a Freedom of Information Act request. So what was also very interesting, there is a list of the BSE, the Federal Agency for Security in the Internet and the networks. So it's about bot networks, which shouldn't be allowed to expand. But what was interesting for us was the QE list, where we had live access to. Then there was an article about it at Netzpolitik, about that on netzpolitik.org and also with Heise. And in the end, this QE list that the QE wanted to keep covered up was everywhere on the internet. So there was kind of tries and effect. Everybody could see this list they wanted to keep secret. That's not even all. Now let's do some analysis with these lists. So there was a small monitoring fail, as our QE members are responsible to monitor sites that have been blocked. So to monitor that there is still illegal content on the pages that they have blocked. And the Federal Network Agency even notifies the QE that they should make sure to do this monitoring. Well, actually, about one third of the blockings were wrong because the domain had been sold, not accessible anymore, and so on. So there was the website Serien.sx, which directed to something completely else for 2 years. Also, BurningSeries.sv, that was a site to sell something for 1.5 years. So then we notified QE. They never replied to us, but they, without saying anything, they unblocked some of the websites. Then there was another article on netzpolitik.org, and then then the query deblocked a lot of websites within less than 2 hours after this article was published. So now we have the expectation that QE will do more to ensure that no websites are blocked wrongly. So I also documented when and where websites were blocked wrongly, while this association of big corporations failed to do so for multiple years. So now let's hope that they are a bit more attentive what they will block in the next time. Well, but they didn't really. It didn't get any better. There was a case where US authorities removed multiple websites, but even after the Americans removed them, the QE still blocked it. However, now everyone can notice that the QE has blocked this site, or that used to be the case. But now they do not reward to redirect to this notice site been blocked by the QE, but now the providers will simply show you an X domain, so like the website didn't exist, and we think it's a way to cover up the QE and what they do to make it even harder to notice that this kind of blocking pattern exists.
So there was an incident with Telefonica, who is also a QE member. And 4 days after the list was published, after the article was published, there was a request by Telefonica on my site, and they checked if blausicherheit.info was blocked, and it's apparently a site that belongs to themselves. And for some reason, Telefonica said that this domain was blocked. And someone looked on our site and checked if we recognize this block. And 2 hours later, at Telefonica, they changed it to a surf fail instead. So they somehow checked something there, and so we don't know if it was a try to sabotage our site, but we changed the checks a bit, and now everything works again, and we don't have to do so much. But it's interesting to see that they seem to try to make our work harder somehow. So Koi seems to not like transparency. So they're trying to make sure that we don't publish this list. And in March 2025, and 1&1 noticed that their list is public and, took it off the net. And we lost access to the live list. So now we're not sure if it's still complete, but currently it's actually complete again. And the KOI doesn't know, though, how it is complete.
Ja, genau. Und jetzt im Juni von diesem Jahr.
So, June of this year, there was a Behavioral Codex 2.0 by the KOI published. And the Federal Network Agency, since it's not their job to check if sites are legal or not, they want to more focus on their mandatory tasks, they claim. And they also They also complained about missing monitoring, and we're not sure if this was our involvement there. So COI now only mainly relies on court orders. And there's been statements in the press on that. But the old blocks are still there and still persist, and the list is still not public, and we still don't know what's being blocked there. And new domains are still being kept as a secret. So no one other than the COI knows what's been blocked there. So that's kind of a bit problematic. So because journalists and so on can't actually check what's actually being blocked. So Lina just explained that the COI is now trying to mainly base their stuff on court orders. But we have we believe that that it's still so that the, basically the rights holders want a block and ask the COI for it. And when the COI internally looks for an ISP that should be sued, and there seems to be certain criteria how they pick that ISP, but we don't know for sure.
And
when the ISP doesn't appear at court, and when they use the justification, oh, they didn't show up, and therefore the rights holder automatically wins the case. The block doesn't just happen at just that ISP, but on all ISPs that are members in the COI.
So due
to these information freedom requests, we know that the Federal Network Agency asked for having such proper court orders.
Scheint nicht nur zu erscheinen. Hat denn nicht die Möglichkeit gehabt,
but due to the ISP not showing up at court, this they basically don't have the possibility to defend themselves. And well, it basically just leads to the COI still like being intransparent. We don't really get proper answers here, and we had to like figure this out by like using these information freedom requests and so on. So our conclusions: the COI really hates transparency.
So intransparent wie möglich zu sein.
And they try to be as intransparent as possible. So the internal checks and guidelines, they don't really work. And well, domains that don't that shouldn't be blocked are still being blocked. And well, the due process is basically being instrumentalized and isn't actually properly being used. And they seem to just be doing what they want because there's no external controls or checks. And we still need help for the crowdsourcing, and we have a matrix space. And it's also bridged with a Discord server, which isn't optimal because we also want to reach like normal people. And also what we would also like is if you run your own DNS configure your own DNS servers at home. We also have a link here on kuiliste.de/umgehen, so circumvent, to have some help on how to configure these DNS servers. We hope that wherever it was necessary, you used the well, the grammatical form that indicates that it's, well, not certain and just could be. And now we have time for questions.
So
we're starting with a question from the internet.
The internet's asking, will this is this list of QE being shared with DNS providers like Cloudflare, Google, or something?
No, that doesn't happen. It's just these ISPs. It's voluntary, and well, except for the QE, almost no one knows what's being blocked there. Then we'll continue with microphone one.
My question is, which incentives does an ISP have to participate in all of this?
So the rights holders have a lot of power, and they have money and power. And, well, things are on their side. And the ISPs also kind of want to, like, avoid stress. So they have that behavioral codex, and they have that safe, like, that guarantee that not much more is going to happen. So there's these billions, these corporations that have billions, and, well.
So dann weiter bei Mikrofon 3, bitte.
Dankeschön, danke für den Talk.
Thank you, thanks for the talk. Do you know if there's something similar in Austria as well?
Yes, in Austria there's something similar, but it's being done by the state and it's public and you can look at it actually. I'm not sure what it's called there in Austria, but there are blocks to copyright violating contents. Another question from the internet.
How does the QE works with domains who have DNSSEC activated?
It's not technically a problem, because if you deliver a blocked answer for the request, then, well.
I have a short question. Do you understand correctly that one QE member is suing another QE member, and they have a deal that the QE member which is being sued simply does not show up in court and therefore loses?
You could think so, but we can't say for sure that it's the case. But it seems to be that, well, a QE member sues another one, and, well.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand the legal construction behind all of this, and I'm at the same point. I've stumbled over the same point. So just to understand it, the right holders, the copyright holders, is suing the ISP, and then, well, it's civil procedure law, so if you don't show up to court and don't defend yourselves, you automatically lose the case. I understand this, and all of this within the scope of this gentleman agreements, we are suing you just so to have a legal facade, and if you play with this as we agreed upon, there is no real stress. So the provider has some interest in that. There is like a win-win situation one can understand. So the question is there anything to correct this? Or for example, I as a user, I have a contract with my provider that he's giving, which, so he has to give me internet access, and if he makes the services worse for me without reason, he is violating his contract with me. So is there any legal way I can take against the provider? So are there like consumer protection associations on it and saying, well, what you're doing with your customers is not okay? And the next question is about the role of the Federal Network Agency. I wondered quite a bit because you said that the Federal Network Agency had some checks before, but don't do that anymore because they are a public authority, so they can only do what their jobs are being and that prescribed by law. So they are not working in the non-legal area as an authority, so I'm interested in that.
So the Federal Net Agency, their main thing is the net neutrality thing, and they have to keep to that. But, well, the law-violating websites are like their own thing. And, well, the ISPs can technically block these sites. And, well, the Federal Network Agency does, like, care for net neutrality, but... But we don't know quite know why they cooperated with COI like that. But, well, they did clearly cooperate at some point, but, well, now the network agency suddenly doesn't work with them anymore. But they wanted it like that, seemingly, and, well, just accepted it like that. So, microphone two.
One question, how far does the owner of the domain is being informed if there is a court ruling about the blocking of the page? So if I understood that correctly, there is a lawsuit between the providers and the domain owner isn't even notified about this.
So... Section 8 of that law. Well, they normally try to take it down at the server hoster level, but, well, if that doesn't work, the site owner doesn't necessarily notice what's happening there, especially if they're like outside of Germany. But, well, if the service provider doesn't show up at court, well, they just all block it. And, well, you can, as a site owner, you can manually check if it's being blocked, but, well, but it seems like the court doesn't notify them about it, so.
Do you have a list of the courts where the ISPs are located? Because the trials must be public, so everybody must be allowed to go there and sit in there.
So currently, there only seems to be one from the court at Cologne, but. We'll have a look at this, and this sounds funny.
For the completeness of the QE list, I'm asking if there should be an automated way to find that out. Are there any plans for that?
We've considered this, but, well, there's so many domains that... It doesn't really seem feasible to request, like, for all of them to... Well, we do check the domains that were submitted by our users, but... well, we can't check much more than that. But we think that currently the list is quite accurate. Well, thanks.
Gut, dann weiter bei Mikrofon 3.
Microphone 3.
Thank you. I ran to the hall quickly for that, and I had the same idea like before. Just to make it sure, the entire thing only happens if you use the DNS service of the ISPs. So wouldn't it be an option to build a browser plugin that is automatically using a different DNS servers or is comparing multiple of them, and if that doesn't match, you're not being notified?
So in principle, yes, you could do this, and we'd even have a few users for that, but while we because we currently have access to the list, it's not really necessary. But if we lose that access, well, we hope we don't, but well, if we had some automated crowdsourcing and have enough volunteers, that might be a possibility. And we have a big community who are very helpful here and also question things and so on. And well, if not, we'll always find a way.
So, Mikrofon 4, bitte.
Microphone 4, please.
I'm asking myself, would it even make sense for the ISP to show up at this trial? Because even then it would be kind of a show trial because they agreed upon in before.
We don't know if they agreed to beforehand, but well, that COI association, that they like cooperate like that, that's very interesting. I could imagine that it's like just a cost-saving measure to get it through more quickly. And well, we only puzzled this together based on these information freedom requests. And because the COI is this private association, because it's not the state who has that right to block these sites. And it's these corporations that are like taking out this right to, or claiming this right to limit our internet.
Gut, Mikrofon 2, bitte.
Die österreichische Sperrliste.
The Austrian blocking list. That's public with you. I think it's quite practical as a German user as well. Have you tried taking a look if the Austrian list mainly matches the QE list, or if the QE is blocking lots more?
That would be interesting, but we haven't done it yet. But this talk is well focused on Germany, but of course we could compare at some point. Microphone 3, next.
You already talked about Freedom of Information Act requests. Do you know, do you have any information why, on which base the Federal Network Agency decide whether to block the domain or not?
I'm not sure. I don't think so far. We could request, but we could ask, but well, we will take this as input to research more at the COI, so. Microphone 1.
We currently have network blocking on the DNS level. Wouldn't the next step of escalation be that the alternative DNS servers are being blocked as well on another level? And how does this work with network neutrality?
I think that won't work regarding net neutrality, but there are IP blocks. And that it doesn't really happen yet so far in Germany, but it does happen in other countries already, and there's even a EU recommendation on that. And maybe some COI members are planning this, but we're not quite sure yet, and we don't know how this works. So the members already thought about this, but well, we don't know if it's happening. But apparently it's already been considered once. So we don't know what's going to happen yet. So configuring an alternative DNS server seems like a good idea, and we hope that they won't also be blocked. So becoming active now is a good idea.
Thank you so much for your work. I wanted to ask regarding the other blocking lists you mentioned. if they also if they're also blocking on DNS levels, especially the KGM list. I think it's interesting who's behind this and who decides what is extremism and what isn't.
That's the Commission for Youth Media Protection who decides. And there has also been some changes there recently, but it's a very different topic. But, well, it's also DNS blocks, so, and, well, they decided.
Lieber Signal Angel, gibt es noch Fragen aus dem Internet?
Is there more questions from the Internet, dear Signal Angel? One more question.
One question is whether the website operators have the, or website owners have the opportunity in these trials to give a statement or defend themselves.
Could be possible to sue against this, but, well, we don't really have our own interest towards that, but it's its own thing. And we don't know of this, of whether the site operators are being informed, but we think it's rather unlikely. So it would be hard for the site operators to influence this, and they'd have to do this manually, and they don't really want to. So, microphone two.
Die Frage ging dann ja schon mal unter, aber was sind die Möglichkeiten für mich als Nutzer und als
So what are the opportunities for me as a user or customer to do something against this? Can I ask the providers, well, I am paying for your services, I want to have my internet access?
Well, you can use an alternative DNS resolver, but
uns ist das jetzt auf der, oder zumindest mir, nicht ganz auf der Rechtsgrundlage bewusst, wie das aussieht.
But we don't really know how this looks legally, but auch einen anderen DNS-Server einstellen. Das ist ja, but you can, well, use an alternative DNS resolver. And because this is possible and technically isn't so hard, even if it isn't for the average user maybe, so because in the contract the DNS server isn't technically even included, and just the internet connection itself, even though I didn't actually read the contract, so I'm not sure actually, but maybe because of that it could be difficult to, well, act against this. But we'll have a look at this and, well, we'll write more on this on the blog and in the Matrix and on the Discord, so. But on coelist.de you can also see other options to contact us, and, well, it's also on Lina's site. I think you could complain to customer service, but I don't think that actually will get you anywhere.
One more question from the internet. The internet asked again whether the judicial system, so the courts, are saying to this kind of abuse. But we don't know this exactly. We only know the Federal Network Agency asked for contradictorial verdicts so that the other side also appears in there, but we don't have any internal knowledge about this.
I think we don't have so much time left. Maybe one very quick question, otherwise we'd have to quit here.
So there's not only classical copyright law, but there are also fair use cases and such. And did you also find some unclear cases on lists?
So there's been sites that have already been bought, or when we checked it, there was sites that weren't, well, needed to be blocked, but well, they didn't follow the internal guidelines, apparently. And, well, after this seizure happened, that would be an example. Why was it blocked?
Prozess, langer Weg oder also das?
Do they have like some weird internal process there with it? We don't know.
And thank you so much. There are no more questions and also no more time. Thanks for listening to the English translation of QE.